The following paid program does not necessarily reflect the views or opinions of the staff and management of Tri-Scepter Productions or the Superhuman Channel. Tri-Scepter Productions and the Superhuman Channel are not responsible for any claims, warranties, or guarantees made during this program.
Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled.
From the Studio Gym, where excuses never apply.
It's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
Hey, welcome back to Superhuman Radio. If you've been living under a rock, then you don't know what I'm about to say. There is now a Superhuman Radio forum at anabolicminds.com. That's right. We wanted a forum. We now have a forum. You can post show suggestions, comments. We'll even get some of the guests on the show to start spending some time right after their shows air so they can answer your specific questions. I also want to announce on behalf of Anabolic Minds three new sponsors who have come aboard to Anabolic Minds. And these sponsors make it possible for Superhuman Radio to be on the air there, believe it or not. San, Muscle Gauge Nutrition, and Bulk Performance Solutions. So show them some love. Check them out. Go to anabolicminds.com and get on the Superhuman Radio Forum. We've got a great show planned for you today. First hour, we're going to be talking about how to really read and interpret research. So many of us spend a lot of time on websites like PubMed and HiWire reading things that we then assimilate, or we think we assimilate. We make decisions based on it, but are we correct? Is it really important? Are we reading it right? We're going to have Dr. Andro and Sean Casey on the first hour discussing how to read and interpret research. Second hour, I'm going to have Alexis Baden-Mayer from the website Millions Against Monsanto. And we're going to be talking about what Monsanto is up to and what can be done to help stall them from running away with our food chain. Let's get started. I have Dr. Andro from Germany. Are you there, Dr. Andro?
Yes, I'm still here.
Very good, very good. And Sean Casey inside the United States. How you doing, Sean?
I'm doing very well, thank you.
Great, great. Okay. I'm guilty of this myself. I read an abstract, and I start to make summations as a result of this abstract. How responsible is it simply to read an abstract, the summation of the research, and start making decisions? I want to turn this one question over to Dr. Andro, please.
Well, actually, you must consider what the abstract is meant to. It's written by the author for his peers to inform them about the main and the most essential finding, and this is the most essential finding in his point of view of the study. And a special problem for someone who is not a peer of this researcher and is not an expert in the specific area is that mostly you have to know the complete literature that is surrounding the topic to really be able to judge whether the results are significant and what the results are telling you. So it is very problematic to just read the abstract. But in fact, normal people, quote-unquote normal people, have the problem that sometimes or most of the times they are not even able to access the full text because they would have to pay for it. And so sometimes you must go with the abstract in order to achieve to get any information. And if that's the case, then you really should start out by trying to figure out what did the scientists try to find out, how did they do it, and what exactly were the results. And then you must come up with your own interpretation and check whether the conclusions by the author match this interpretation.
Okay. Now, this is for Sean. Dr. Andro mentioned something when you have to see if something is significant. Quite often, studies use the terminology statistically significant, okay? First of all, who determines what range of response in a given study constitutes statistical significance? Is it flat across the board for all research that if the response is at X percent in one direction, that this is statistically significant? Or is there more to understand about the study that makes something maybe that they don't think is significant really significant to us?
I would agree with that. The statistically significant, usually they set it at a p-level of 0.05. And what's statistically significant, all that kind of shows is, were the results true or not? Not to get really in-depth in the lingo of it, but, you know, there's a certain population that's going to have results, you know, just by chance. And that's kind of what the statistically significance looks at, and standard measure is usually P at 0.05 or the alpha level.
You're saying half a percent is considered statistically significant?
It's what they're saying is usually it goes back and they say 80% of the time we're for sure these results are happening due to the study, the way it was carried out or handled. But where people usually get tripped up with the statistically significant is just because something is statistically significant does not mean it's, you know, a real world significance.
And that's what I'm getting at. So somebody does some research on something that elevates, let's say, a hormone like testosterone, and it elevates testosterone, 5%. This may be statistically significant for the study, but it's of no significance to the average human being who is looking for an elevation in testosterone.
Oh, exactly. You know, I was just reading a study the other day that looked at, I forget what, it was some sort of supplement and weight loss over a 6-month time span. And the results came back and, you know, they were statistically significant. When they were taking the supplement, they're statistically significant, their weight levels dropped. However, if you take like a step back from the study and look at it, the group lost, I think it was like 0.8 kilograms over a 6-month time period. And so you have to ask yourself, you know, just, although it's statistically significant, in the real world is a 0.6 pound or 0.6 kilogram drop in weight over a 6-month time span, you know, a significant result, you know, something that you're going to, you know, run out and buy this supplement for, just based off the fact that one study came out showing that it was statistically significant.
Okay, Dr. Andrew, many supplement companies base their supplements on maybe single lines in an abstract or in a study, but quite often the conclusions of the study may be contradictory to what the real desired effect of this supplement is. How do they get away with that?
Well, that's clever marketing practice, and they obviously select those passages which fit their advertisement strategies, and they omit those passages of the abstract or the whole study, which would reveal that, for example, the increase in fat loss was not even statistically significant. For example, you could easily advertise a fat loss of, let's say, 8 kilograms in 6 months. And then if you had a look at the study they cite and you really look at the full text, you might find that this was not a statistically different weight loss compared to the placebo group,
right,
for example.
Right. So really the bottom line is getting an abstract and reading it is really derelict of any real research due diligence, isn't it?
Yeah, no doubt. You know, I would say, you know, it's important to, you know, to look at abstracts, you know, to give you a broad perspective. You know, is this something I need to delve deeper in? Kind of the analogy I like to tell people, and when they're interpreting abstracts, is, you know, it's kind of like a postcard that shows you a view of this, you know, mountain range or whatever, you know. An abstract can look very good, you know, very appealing, but, you know, you go into the study and the results, you know, don't necessarily, or the results are, you know, accurate, but the methods they use, you may find out that, you know, the population they study isn't, you know, similar enough to you to make it work and everything. It's kind of like a postcard, you know, you see a postcard, the place looks good, you travel to that place. You get that place and you realize, you know, the weather really isn't that nice. There's bugs crawling all over me.
Yeah, the picture was taken the one good day out of the year, you know?
Exactly. And so that's why I always tell people, you know, be careful when you're interpreting abstracts. You know, always go into the study and read the full-length article to see if it really applies to how you're trying to interpret it.
Okay, let's do this. Good. I'm sorry, Dr. Andrew. You have something to say?
Just that's one point. There's also another point I wanted to make, because I have a very, maybe a unique perspective on abstracts, because I write abstracts myself, and I have to teach physics students to write abstracts. And what I notice is that writing an abstract is often more complicated than writing a whole dissertation, because you have to be so concise, and this takes practice, and therefore you will have abstracts of different qualities. Sometimes you have a very low quality abstract where you're really off if you just read the abstract and not the full text. Sometimes you really get all the important information in the abstract already. It also depends on the author and the quality of the abstract.
Okay, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. And when we come back, we're going to pick it up with Dr. Andrew and Sean Casey. We're talking about we're going to get into what steps you need to take in order to do your own research, how to interpret this stuff. Stay tuned. You're listening to Superhuman Radio. We'll be right back.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The three amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com. Finally, a Bovine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bovine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bovine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit RLSSupplements.com today. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest protein bar banner ad to try them today. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Thank you. Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody, when you order your branched chain amino acids from TrueProtein.com, be sure to order the instantized versions. They have two versions, the regular ones and the instantized ones. Quite frankly, I was using the regular ones and was impressed. And then I got the instantized ones and I'm like, oh my God. I mean, you just pour this stuff in water and it disappears. It doesn't float. Check out TrueProtein.com. Get your branched chain amino acids there. Want to also thank NutriPlanet.com for getting us, helping us get on Anabolic Minds. They were instrumental in getting us aboard there. Visit NutriPlanet.com as well. Okay, so Sean, I'm going to turn this question over to you because you recently wrote an article about this, correct?
Yes.
Okay, so what should people do when they are setting out to do their own research? Give me some steps to help me navigate the information properly and make logical decisions.
The first thing I'd recommend is going to a scientific database, like you mentioned, HiWire or the PubMed.com. You know, if someone's going to, you know, I'm thinking of a supplement. If someone's going to go to research a supplement, you know, the worst thing they can do is just type in, you know, creatine, caffeine, or whatever, just on Google. Because when you type that into Google, you're going to get a whole bunch of results. You know, more than likely they're going to go to forums or, you know, manufacturer websites.
Right, but where people have a vested interest to give you a certain angle, or they just have the information wrong and they're just propagating it even more. So you want peer-reviewed research.
Peer-reviewed. And so the first thing I usually do is go to PubMed.com. And, you know, I usually don't look for the specific supplement name. You know, usually I look, you know, research the individual ingredients just because there's not a whole lot of studies on, you know, specific supplements. And so I'll type that in, and I'll come up with a list of results. From there, you know, I'm fortunate I have access through university to read most of the full text. But say, for instance, if you do not have access to a university setting, if you go into, they have limits and kind of advanced searches on the homepage, and there's a little checkbox you can click where it only brings up full text articles with free access.
That's so the key. You want the free access stuff because that's the best. I mean, then you don't have to pay for an individual study.
Exactly, and you know you'll have that aspect. And, you know, the abstracts are so good to look at, you know, even if you don't have full access, because, you know, it gives you kind of a general idea, you know, questions that you can ask further on. And so what I recommend is looking at both the abstracts and the articles you have full text for and trying to paint a full picture around whatever, you know, topic you're researching.
Okay. Good. Dr. Andrew, I have a question for you anyway. Go ahead. Finish up.
I know that many people who do not have access and who frequent the Mind and Muscle board often ask for the full text at this board, and people post it then as a PDF attachment to a thread. So this would be another possibility. If you are really interested, then go to one of those really intelligent boards and ask people to post the full text. And
yeah, go to boards where individuals involved in academia spend time because they have access through their universities quite often. Correct?
Yes, for example, yeah.
Okay.
It's borderline legal, I'd say, but mostly they use those free servers post.
Right. Right, and they're using their screen names quite often, so no one's going to track them back quite often as well.
Yeah.
Okay, how important is it when the research is done on mice and rat models versus humans?
Well, in fact, this is something that is unfortunately not really elucidated yet, because most of the data we have comes obviously from rodent studies. And the main reason is that rodent studies are easy to do. You do not need much space for your rodents. They are cheap, and you do not get problems with animal rights activists if you kill the rodents. And they are easy to be genetically modified. But in fact, their organism and especially their metabolism is quite different from the human metabolism. And everybody who's been reading some of the posts on my blog will have noticed that in most instances, at least if we have, if I'm posting information about rodent studies where rodents were supplemented orally, that I'm trying to give the human dose equivalent. And I'm always, well, I'm not really sure how exact those equivalents are, because they are done by a standard calculation, which you can check in tables for literally every animal model, how you transfer those values to human equivalent doses. So if you, for example, you multiply by 6 and divide by 37 if you have red, to get the milligrams per kilogram dose. And this is a method I think is not really reliable. And the original idea behind that was, if you have a drug and you're developing a drug, then you would test it initially on rodents, and you would check which is the lethal dose, and then you would check which is the lethal dose 50, that is, that 50% of the animals die, and which is the lethal dose 10, that 10% of the animals die. And then you would try to find a dose and calculate an equivalent which would be safe for your first human study. And so this is a very general estimate, and I think that it hardly transfers to real results.
Okay. So clearly, what happens in rodents does not always happen in humans. So why are we even – I understand that it's simple. It's a starting point. But why do so many – supplement companies dedicate much of the foundation of their supporting research to rodent and mouse models?
I assume because they feel that, you know, most of your common consumers are not going to go back and look at the literature themselves. That's what I found in my experience. You know, if you have, you know, this product or this ingredient was shown to increase testosterone, it was shown to increase, you know, endurance, libido, you know, whatever they're looking at, you know, people want to find results in the things they're looking at. You know, they're not going to go back and look at the individual studies themselves mostly. I realize that listeners of Superhuman Radio are much more intelligent, you know, and are going to search back, but, you know, the average supplement company, they're there to make money, and they're, you know, saying we'll slap these on. And you may get results, but if your results are not, we made money off your purchase.
Right, right. Which leads me to go ahead, Dr. Andrew, because I have a question for you when you're done.
Well, in fact, I think that the supplement companies and the uninformed consumers are not the only ones who rely on those studies or overtly rely on those studies, but the scientists themselves hardly ever question their models, and there are very few studies which investigate which model would be appropriate for what to research, and especially all those genetically modified mice strands where you just turn one gene off, of which you think you know what it does. Maybe it has a multitude of other functions, so your model could be totally flawed, and your results would be totally flawed. So these are considerations that are hardly ever mentioned, even in the full text of the studies. So even a Superhuman Radio listener who would really try to get to the foundation of the information and read the whole full text, you would not really get information on how reliable this rat study, for example, is. And another animal which I consider, or which is in fact more related or and a better model in many terms, especially if you are doing metabolic research, is a pig.
I was going to ask why they don't do it on test on pigs, because pigs actually viscerally and biologically resemble humans greatly.
Yeah, and one important thing, for example, compared to rodents, is that just as humans postnatally, that is, when they are born, they are devoid of brown fat, and you may have heard that in the last years, we have discovered that human beings still have some brown fat, which is a metabolically very active fat, and rodents use this for thermogenesis to heat their bodies. And in fact, this is a fat or fat tissue which helps you burn fat. And humans do not have this. And many rodent studies on fat burners, for example, are flawed in that they are activating those fat burning effects of those brown adipose tissue. And humans have far too little of this tissue, so that the study results would not transfer to humans. And one very practical reason that pig studies are not done so often is just because those pigs are, it takes longer because they take longer to grow and they live longer than rodents, and of course they need space. And if I'm thinking of the biology department at my university, there's hardly enough space for the students. They of course will use rodents and no pigs.
Yeah, no, I can appreciate that. I'm going to go a little long here before the next break. I want to pose this question to you, Dr. Andro, and we can wrap it up and finish this question up on the other side of the break if we take too long. You and I did a show not too long ago explaining that research quite often is not reliable because of the methods and the agendas by those who would be the researchers, and reproducibility seems to be the acid test of whether research is valid. What about omissions? Is it not true that if my lab was doing a double-blind placebo-controlled study, and early on in the research, something goes awry that I choose that I don't want to have come out in the research, I can pull the plug on the research and start all over again and never mention the fact that I pulled the plug on the original research because things were not going in the direction that I wanted them to. Is that true?
Of course. You might have problems to refinance another study, but especially if you are in a university setting, you have a certain budget you can spend on studies, and if the study turns out not to work the way you want it to, you can, of course, terminate it. And even if you have to apply for another research fund, you can always come up with explanations why the study did not work out and why you choose to use a different method. And thus, it is of course possible that many results, because even those studies which do not provide results you anticipated, these studies are sometimes the most significant ones. For example, the photoelectric effect in physics, which finally led to the postulation of quantum mechanics, this was one of those not unpostulated and unexpected results. These are obviously often the most productive ones. And if you cancel a study because it turns out that it does not seem to work and it does not match your initial hypothesis or your theoretical concept with which you were approaching the study, this could in fact turn out to be a major obstacle to really fundamental discoveries in medical sciences.
Right. I gotcha. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break, and when we come back, we're going to pick it up. I've got some more questions for Sean Casey and Dr. Andro about interpreting research. Later in the show, we're going to be talking about how we can all gang up on Monsanto. You know I like this idea, don't you? Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein in the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SE. SH Radio. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent you.
Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's OPResource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to OPResource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. OPResource.net. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, MahLer.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation, because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines three of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these three agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long, because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol, with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol Dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at IronMagLabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to IronMagLabs.com today.
Jumping higher, left and more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yes, Fever. It is just you and I against the solar system. But with this machine, we shall win.
Just want to remind everybody, if you've not tried a Quest protein bar yet, it's not my fault, because you get two free Quest protein bars just by going to superhumanradio.com and clicking the Quest protein bar banner ad, and they will ship them to you. They're wonderful, high-quality protein, 15 grams of fiber, no sugar alcohols, the best protein bars in the world. You can get two of them for free. Also, if you have not tried Kodiak Cream yet, it relieves pain and aches without the use of NSAIDs or pharmaceuticals. Go to superhumanradio.com. At the bottom of the page, you can get a free trial sample of Kodiak Cream. Check it out. We're talking right now with Dr. Andro and Sean Casey about interpreting research. Does research really matter? How to perform the proper research? You know, the next thing that comes to mind, and Sean, I'm going to open up with you first, is epidemiological studies. You know about the analogy I've always loved using. I have a new one. I usually say, if an epidemiologist was trying to discover what causes fires in Manhattan, they would say fire trucks, because every time there's a fire, there's four or five fire trucks there. My new rip on epidemiology is 100% of all the people who have gotten cancer in the past 50 years have come in contact with water. So surely water must play a role in the onset of cancer. What should we even pay attention to epidemiological studies, or are they just really too broad stroking?
You know, I think epidemiology studies serve as a good basis for further study, but you have to be really careful with interpreting results as your analogies kind of display. You know, I think so many times in popular press, they refer to an epidemiology study as, you know, definite proof that, you know, X causes Y. When all, in all reality, you know, these are just two kind of variables associated with each other. There's no cause and effect whatsoever. And with epidemiology studies, you have the problem of you have no idea what came first. You know, does X lead to Y or does Y lead to X? You know, there's no such, you know, order with it. And so, you know, where I use epidemiology studies are, when I'm looking at big picture type things, you know, to get a general idea, like, you know, oh, there may be a relationship between these two things. This is something I need to delve into further and see if there's any, you know, true experimental studies showing that, yes, indeed, X led to Y or something of that nature.
What's your opinion, Dr. Andrew, of epidemiological studies?
Well, I think the greatest problem is that most people read the studies, and these studies are also the ones that really make it to the mainstream media and are misinterpreted as causative instead of correlative. So you have correlations, and all those correlations suddenly turn into causations. And the latest example I've been talking about on my blog is vitamin D, where we do not even have one single study that proves that vitamin D supplementation raises testosterone if there is not a deficiency already. But the correlation that has been proven time and again in several of those epidemiological studies is interpreted by almost everyone to mean that vitamin D must raise testosterone. But it could as well be that the underlying fact is you are leading a healthier, an outdoor lifestyle and eating nutritious food, and thus you are healthier, you have a higher vitamin D level, and you have higher testosterone levels. So this is the most the greatest problem I see with epidemiological studies, because many of those mainstream writers from those mainstream publications, they think, well, they've checked on let's say 1,500 subjects, and this must be a very, very conclusive study, and the results are much better than from a small investigation, a controlled investigation in, let's say, 30 people. But in fact, even if you have those 1,500 people, you can only find correlations. And I'm always very skeptical if the scientists cannot even present a hypothesis for the underlying mechanism. And this is the case in many of those epidemiological studies, where they say in the end and in the conclusion, well, it seems like this causes that, but it needs further investigation. If you have a study like that, it's meaningless.
So isn't epidemiology just kind of reckless in your humble opinion? I mean, don't you think that it's almost useless to say, you know, like the analogy I gave before, 100% of all the people who've gotten cancer in the past 50 years came in contact with water. So therefore, water must play a role in either the onset or progression of cancer. That's a true statement. I mean, what I just said is an absolute truth.
Yeah, but I think that's similar to what I'm always saying about paleo nutrition. This gives you a foundation for finding hypotheses and checking these hypotheses in further studies. And this is exactly what I said. When a study ends on the sentence, we have to check this in a future controlled, placebo-controlled, double-blind, randomized study, then you may find good hypotheses to investigate in further studies by doing those epidemiological studies.
What about meta-analysis? We have people out there who so desperately want to publish a study that they won't do any research on their own, but what they'll do is they'll dig through all of the research that they feel is pertinent to something, and then they'll basically extrapolate and summarize and say, well, based on all of this research, we say this. Is that valuable and reliable as well?
I think it is. And
go ahead, Dr. Yep. Andrew. Go ahead. You saw.
Oh, no. I was going to say, you know, meta-analysis, I think it definitely has a place, you know, give a broader view. And, you know, but the thing people have to realize is the meta-analysis, you know, all the studies they're comparing together are using, you know, different variables generally, you know, on broadly different populations. And so, you know, it's a broad brushstroke over usually a lot of little studies. And the other thing with meta-analysis, they can include unpublished data with it, which, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But, you know, that's the other thing I
Unpublished data has not been peer reviewed. Then that means, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's kind of like a wild card then.
Yeah. So, I mean, it could be excellently.
Go ahead, Dr. Andrew. Okay. What were you going to say?
I think there's another contributing factor that makes meta-analysis difficult to judge, because on the one hand you have the selection bias. You must rely on what the author selected for his analysis, which studies he selected and which he leaves out, and this can make a great difference.
I was just going to say if meta-analysis is being performed on the complete and total universe of research done on a specific topic, then I think there may be some gravity. But the idea that the author gets to pick and choose which studies are included in the analysis skews it to go in the author's predicted direction.
Yeah, usually you have a very technical way of selecting, or technical criteria of selecting certain studies which fall into your criteria, and you have a very technical method of evaluating those studies. And in fact, it's all about statistics, and this is a difference to a review of studies where often you have those narrative reviews where you just refer to different studies and present the main findings, and then you give a conclusion of what you think, which ones are reliable, which ones are not reliable, and which is the main information or the main finding of the whole literature you are reviewing. For example, for the layman, those studies are much more, or those reviews are much more valuable, because A, they are more understandable, and B, you find many references where you can read on, and you can read the full text on your own. And in the meta-analysis, on the other hand, they really take the data and reprocess the data. So they take data from scientists which was processed once by the scientists and reprocess the data by special algorithms, and it's often the case that after a meta-analysis is published, in the next issue of the same magazine or the same journal, you will read a comment by another scientist who says, this analysis is completely flawed because the statistical method applied by the author is not probable and cannot work in this context. And this is what I think is problematic about a meta-analysis, especially for our listeners.
Yeah, okay. All right, we have to take one last commercial break. And when we come back, we'll wrap up this discussion on, because what I really want to talk about now is real world versus research. Quite often, the two never meet. We're talking with Dr. Andrew. If you want to learn more about Dr. Andrew, you can go to his website is Supversity, supversity.blogspot.com. He always has brilliant articles there worth reading. And then, of course, Sean Casey. Sean, you do have a website, don't you?
Yep, it's caseperformance.com, so
that's
just
it.
C-A-S-E, performance.com.
Caseperformance.com. All right, sit tight. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The triazole formula is built on a potent, all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finer supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexFin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, Power Blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with Power Blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com. When you take real performance enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com. CoQ10 is known to ramp up mitochondrial function. PQQ is documented to increase mitochondrial biogenesis and size. Now get two of the most advanced anti-aging supplements in a single capsule. Brought to you by Dr. Peter Rouse, CoQ10 and PQQ combined will give your body the mitochondrial energy and production that you need. And to make this offer even better, Superhuman Radio listeners get 20% off when you call 310-895-5385 and mention that you heard it on Superhuman Radio. When you take real performance-enhancing supplements, your body is placed under a lot of stress. Your organs need support. If you had to take a supplement for each of the potential side effects, estrogen conversion, blood pressure, liver protection, cholesterol control, water retention, androgen receptor upregulation, kidney function, and much more, you'd have to break the bank just to pay for it all. That's until Need to Build Muscles N2 Guard. N2 Guard does all of this and more. It's the only real cycle support supplement that you'll ever need. Look, if your organs are important to you, buy N2 Guard today at needtobuildmuscle.com.
Your radio just got ripped. It's Superhuman Radio.
Yo, mic check. Yeah, here you go. He over here. Yeah, I heard he got that hot new thing. It's called Sanctuary.
Just want to remind everybody about the active coupon codes on Superhuman Radio. If you want to try the new Age Force Testo 100 testosterone boosting patch, use the coupon code SHR4, the number 4, to save 50% off. And if you want the most reliable, best peptides in the world, go to opresource.net and use the coupon code SUPERHUMAN25. Superhuman, the number 2, the number 5, to save 25% off their already ridiculously low prices. Remember, OP Resource was the source that was used by Men's Health Magazine when they tested PT-141, the only known true injectable aphrodisiac. It lasts 3 days in women who use it. Oh, boy. You better be ready. Okay, back to the subject at hand. Research. At the end of the day, guys, and I'm gonna pose this to Sean Casey first. At the end of the day, the cross between research and real world quite often misses the boat entirely. How much should we even care about research?
I always tell people, you know, research is like a compass. It points you in the general direction of what, you know, may or may not work. Because everyone has to realize that the results of a study are specific just to the people who are in the study. You know, and so you get this general idea like, you know, whey protein may do this, whey protein may do that, or, you know, whatever. But so that gives you, you know, the general direction. And so, you know, using that research, I always encourage people to do what I call me-search, which is, you know, let's see if the research works on ourselves. You know, get the supplement. You know, it's been backed scientifically, you know, in populations that, you know, may be similar to us. And then let's see, you know, if it works in us. That's the best way to look at it. Your guys' previous show with Dr. Andro, you talked about, you know, how the study results, you know, they could be, what I'm looking for. You know, the results may not apply to you specifically, but, you know, the thing I always think about is research that looks at, you know, muscle protein synthesis in untrained individuals after doing a certain type of workout or after taking a certain type of supplement or the combination of the two. You know, that's great, but that's untrained individuals.
Right.
You know, if we look at, if we take this back to ourselves, you know, if we have a year or two of, you know, plus, you know, up to 5, 10, 15 years of training experience, our body is going to respond, I shouldn't say entirely different, but, you know, significantly different than what, you know, an untrained individual is going to respond to the training stimulus or the nutrition stimulus or whatever. And so, you know, those are all things I like to encourage people to think about as they're interpreting the results of the study and going back to apply it to their own lives.
Dr. Andro, towards the end of the show here, I want to try to summarize this next topic, and I think that you can do it quite eloquently. Quite often, an assumption becomes fact, like you pointed out in the pre-interview. Cholesterol, lowering cholesterol is good for the heart. So other research will jump on the bandwagon and simply say, this particular supplement, this particular outcome is good for your heart because it lowers cholesterol, and ergo lowering cholesterol is good for your heart. But we know that now that lowering cholesterol has nothing to do with a healthy heart at all. How do we derail that type of research?
Well, in fact, it really takes quite some time to derail that research. And Sean was quite spot on what he says, but what I wanted to add to this is, in terms of real-world results, we are sometimes paying too much attention to some kind of markers we are checking. And in this case, cholesterol would be a marker for heart disease or for increase of heart disease. And sometimes we do not know about the real-world results. For example, we do not really know about the real-world results of increases in mTOR or IKT expression, like we are talking about with leucine supplementation and BCAA supplementation. We cannot say a 10% increase in mTOR will result in 5 pounds of lean muscle mass in 6 weeks or something like that. And in other cases, we are relying on markers like cholesterol because there is a scientific paradigm that tells us that cholesterol is indicative of heart health or indicative of the risk of developing heart problems. And if we are checking those wrong markers in study after study, we are producing one study after another with false conclusions, and we are running into the wrong direction. And if we have what you've mentioned before, that we are starting out with a study and suddenly find, well, somehow our mice do not get heart disease, although they have high cholesterol, and we just break the study off because we stop the study because we think and we believe in this paradigm, then we are having a problem, and we are really blocking scientific progress by doing so. And as a, well, as a consumer and as somebody who wants to do its own research, you will always have to first think about in which paradigm is this study, has the study been done. For example, if the study comes from a group who really believe that fat will make you fat, then they will design the study in a certain way that it has a built-in bias. And these are things which are difficult to assess for somebody who's not so familiar with scientific studies and the whole theme of reading studies. But it's very important to be aware of this.
And so basically what you're saying is, with most research, it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. If they go out looking for unicorns, they're going to somehow find a unicorn.
Yeah, and it's always, you can only find what you're looking for. A great example, for example, is also doping. You can only find substances you are looking for. And in essence, in science, as I've said in the previous show, you can only answer yes or no questions. If you go to the most fundamental levels, we are always asking yes or no, yes or no, yes or no. And we're just combining those yes or no questions to those complex questions you see on the level the reader gets later. But in fact, you look, is this gene changed, yes or no? Is this another gene changed, yes or no? Are there any beneficial effects on the health of my lab animals, yes or no? And so, in essence, you always have those very simple questions, and the network of questions then provides an answer. But the answer is not a direct one, but always an interpretation.
Yeah. Okay. We're coming to the end of the interview. I want to go ahead and plug your websites again. Professor Dr. Andro, who is actually a physicist by training, has written some of the most profound articles about research that he discovers and extrapolates. And if you don't want to spend a lot of time interpreting, you can go to Supversity, SUPPVERSITY.blogspot.com, or if you're on the Superhuman Radio website, look for his banner ad on the right-hand side. And then, of course...
May I briefly interrupt you, because I'm trying to give you some hint at what to conclude from the studies, but I want to ask everybody to think for himself. And the readers I like best are those who comment on my comments and who really have different opinions and criticize what I've been writing. Because this is how science is working. If you have other scientists or pseudoscientists who criticize you, and if you have to rethink what you wrote and what you are thinking, this is progress in science.
Okay. So in other words, you should not be afraid of criticism if you're a scientist.
No, of course not.
Okay.
If you're convinced that your science is good and that what you found is right and your interpretation is right, then you must be able to provide arguments why this is correct, and therefore you must be open for criticism. Okay. And I know that this is something Sean likes as well. And this is typical of a real scientist. He must be open for criticism, and he must be able to accept it and to counter it. And he must also accept if once he's false and somebody else comes up with a better interpretation of the data, he must accept that.
Yeah.
So I agree 100%.
Go ahead.
I was going to say, I agree 100%. Like, I enjoy, I guess no one enjoys getting criticism, but, you know, constructive criticism, every time I have that, you know, my knowledge goes to a higher level of understanding. Because either A, I'm going to, you know, get more, do more research on the topic at hand to make sure I have all my ducks in order, and, you know, to truly understand what I'm looking at, or B, just like Dr. Andro mentioned, you're going to realize, like, hey, you know, this other person has a great point here. You know, after reviewing through the research, I think they are correct. So, I mean, either way, you're going to end up at a higher level of knowledge after receiving criticism.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, listen, guys, I want to thank you. This is obviously a subject that is much more elusive and complicated as it sounds, but the bottom line, the takeaway should be that just because something is written in research and the author says this is the way it is, you still have to be a little skeptical, use your deductive reasoning, and then at the end of the day, what happens in the real world generally is not always what happens in the laboratory. Dr. Andro, Sean Casey, thanks so much for being on Superhuman Radio today, guys.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dr. Andro.
I'm always a pleasure to be on Superhuman Radio.
There you go. Okay. All right, and we will be right back with more Superhuman Radio. We're going to have Alexis Baden-Mayer from the organicconsumers.org website, where they have an area dedicated to stopping Monsanto from taking over the world. You know I'm going to probably rant a little bit. So if you like my rants, this next hour should be pretty good. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long, because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com.
IronMagLabs.com today.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best price and fastest customer service at orbitnutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit orbitnutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. orbitnutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at orbitnutrition.com.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell. This is the Superhuman Channel. Evolution just got kicked up a notch.
I'm going to have to change this. Let's stop for a second.
Okay, let's do it.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, anytime the subject of Monsanto, or I like to refer to them as Monsatan, is discussed, I tend to become a little heated under the collar. I'm going to try to contain myself because my next guest has never been exposed to my caustic side, and I don't want to scare her away because I want her to come on the show whenever they want to. She is Alexis Baden-Mayer. She is the political director of the Organic Consumers Organization, organicconsumers.org, and they have a special area on the website is near and dear to my heart. It's called Millions Against Monsanto. I love it. Welcome to the show, Alexis.
Thanks so much. Great to be here with you.
Yeah, this is really something that I rail against Monsanto on a daily basis, at least on a weekly basis. And quite often when I do, I probably get off point, which I know doesn't work well in the political arena, but it works well on talk radio. Because I just feel like Monsanto is in the interest of profits. They are literally poisoning our country today. Now, am I really just over the top with that? Am I just being too much of a zealot? Or am I even in the ballpark?
Well, I certainly agree with you. But Monsanto is actually one of the most hated companies in the whole world. You are absolutely not alone. And human beings have every reason to hate a chemical company who has, just for profit, found horribly evil ways to manufacture its chemicals. We all should remember that it started, no, it didn't start here, but one of the tip-offs that Monsanto was truly evil is that they were one of the companies that manufactured Agent Orange for the U.S. military during the Vietnam War. Agent Orange is a very potent herbicide, and it was used to defoliate the jungles of Vietnam, and it ended up making service members and civilians extremely sick.
I lost a friend. I'm 53 years old, so I'm old enough to remember the Vietnam War, and I lost a dear friend 33 years ago to Hodgkin's disease, which was he and 11 other men in his Marine battalion all died of Hodgkin's disease within a year of each other. They were all drenched in Agent Orange while they were there.
Oh, my God.
So, now, of course, Monsanto's going to say, look, you know, the government hired us to defoliate the jungle so that these guys could fight the war. We didn't know that they were going to die. What would you say? I mean, I'm trying to play devil's advocate here. What would you say to that?
Well, I think that they probably understand more than we do, actually, the potency of the poisons that they create.
Yes.
And because they have scientists working in the lab with those poisons, and, you know, either those scientists don't protect themselves well and they get the same diseases that people who have been exposed to these chemicals are getting, or they know better and they protect themselves to stay safe. So, you know, Monsanto knows better than anybody else how dangerous these chemicals are.
And you know what? And my fear is this. Monsanto has a grander plan. They are gobbling up all the seed lots out there. They are extinguishing all of the heritage seed, inventories. And everything that they can, they're making genetically modified now. They just announced, I guess, last week or the week before that they are going to go ahead full steam with genetically modified wheat.
Mm-hmm.
The whole GMO thing scares the bejeebers out of me because we don't know the real effects of GMO. Our children and their children will probably, because of epigenetics, understand the real damaging effects of GMO. Monsanto keeps going, there's nothing wrong with it. It's just like any other corn. You know, perfect example. They probably said the same thing about Agent Orange. Look at all the men and women that died and suffered because of Agent Orange. Do we really want to take a company's word that has been this reckless and cavalier about the chemicals that they used on human beings?
Absolutely not. And the issue of Agent Orange isn't over yet, because Monsanto still legally in this country sells the very same chemicals that they use to manufacture Agent Orange to farmers as herbicides. And their whole business model has been to create a bunch of crops that are resistant to their herbicides so they can sell more herbicides. And they've been making Roundup ready crops resistant to their herbicide Roundup so they can sell lots of Roundup. And now we're having a problem with superweeds because the genetic modification came from a bacterial DNA. And this bacterial DNA easily transfers. It came from soil. It easily transfers from the plant that is engineered into the soil, into the weeds. And then pretty soon you have weeds that are Roundup ready. And so now that they're having this Roundup ready weed problem, which is making this whole business model very inefficient for farmers. This was supposed to save farmers money.
Right.
Now it's costing them more money. They have to buy more chemicals. Now Monsanto is saying, well, if the Roundup isn't working anymore, you can use 2,4-D. That was 50% of Agent Orange. And they're saying, and we are going to start manufacturing 2,4-D ready crops.
Oh, my
God. That are resistant to 2,4-D.
And Alexis, you know what happens? The Monsanto's mantra is, look, when you have Roundup ready corn, you can use less pesticides, but that's not true.
It is a lie.
Right, because back in the day, farmers had to be careful not to overspray the crop because they'd kill the corn. They just wanted to kill the weeds. Now, they bathe everything in Roundup. They can be indiscriminate. They can spray the corn until the cows come home because it's not going to die from the herbicide pesticide any longer. So you actually have the opposite being true. You have farmers drenching crops in Roundup now. We are getting exposed to greater degrees of these toxins, and you're telling me that they're going to start using the same stuff that they use in Agent Orange very shortly to bathe our food? I have to ask you this question. You are in You're up there at Capitol Hill. You're in D.C. Okay. What's going on? Aren't these politicians getting this, that these are their grandchildren that are eating this stuff?
Well, there are a few politicians who remain independent enough to use their brains and make rational decisions.
Who are they? Who are they, Alexis? No, I want to know.
I can only think of one off the top of my head, and that's Dennis Kucinich from Ohio. Representative Dennis Kucinich has, since the late 1990s, when these crops started coming into our food supply, he has introduced a consumer right-to-know bill that would require labels on all genetically modified foods. And this is exactly what Monsanto doesn't want.
Of course not.
This is what 90% of the public agrees we need to do. So if it ever went to the voters, we'd probably see success if we could raise enough money to outspend Monsanto in television ads. So it's like, you know, money and politics is.
But you
a
know
problem.
What? It's more than television ads. Monsanto is a corrupt, spiritually bankrupt, corrupt company that goes right to the politicians and lets them use their private jets to fly them from campaign spot to campaign. I mean, Monsanto, we have to take a commercial break. As you can tell, I'm really geared up right now because I feel like so many Americans are sitting back like sheeple, you know, people who are sheep, and we're just going to slaughter. Monsanto wants to run this world eventually. There's no doubt in my mind about it. I want to know who is at the helm of Monsanto. We're talking today with Alexis Baden-Mayer. She is the political director of the Organic Consumers Organization. Go to organicconsumers.org. Check out the Millions Against Monsanto page. We'll be right back with more Superhuman Radio. The fourth most abundant mineral in the body, magnesium, is responsible for 300 biochemical reactions, normal muscle and nerve function, proper heart rhythm, healthy immune system, and proper hormone levels. But most find taking oral magnesium problematic. Get optimum magnesium levels with transdermal magnesium oil from MikeMahler.com. Magnesium absorbed through the skin can elevate DHEA levels and a variety of other reactions that can increase energy, reduce muscle soreness, lose stomach fat, and ramp up heart health. Go to MikeMahler.com today. That's Mike, M-A-H-L-E. ER.com. From the most advanced supplement company on the planet, Primordial Performance, comes the new Andro series. Andro Lean is a thermogenic aid that will promote lipolysis and incinerate body fat. Andro Mass creates explosive gains and is highly anabolic. Andro Hard will turn your muscles into granite hard stone while increasing sex drive and maximizing strength. The Andro series represents the most advanced delivery systems available anywhere. These are non-methylated and completely liver safe and non-toxic. Buy one or stack all of the new Andro series products today at primordialperformance.com.
Muscle and joint pain can slow your progress to a screeching halt. That's why I use Kodiak Chiropractic Cream. Kodiak Cream won't hinder muscle growth while reducing pain and inflammation because Kodiak Cream uses only non-pharmaceutical anti-inflammatory agents proven to halt inflammation and relieve pain instantly. Kodiak Cream is great if you suffer from fibromyalgia or osteoarthritis as well. Get your Kodiak Cream today by clicking the banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Kodiak Cream. It's the only thing I use to manage pain, and you should too.
Sissies may want to stop listening now. Super DMZ is the most powerful legal compound available on the market today, bar none. Super DMZ will give you lean muscle and strength gains at comparable rates to the anabolic steroid Dianabol with none of the water retention or bloat. Super DMZ contains Superdrol dimethazine, not to be confused with other Superdrol knockoffs. Get Super DMZ while supplies last at ironmaglabs.com. Don't wait too long because Super DMZ is sure to be added to the government ban list. Go to ironmaglabs.com today. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right, buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household. Introducing AgeForce Testo 100, the first
testosterone booster in a transdermal time-release patch. Produced in FDA-certified labs, Testo 100 bypasses digestion and delivers its testosterone-boosting formula directly into the bloodstream. That's a huge advantage over oral testosterone supplements. Testo 100 patches raise testosterone levels throughout the day to elevate libido, energy, and maximize muscle-building, fat-burning effects without suppressing normal testosterone production. For a limited time, Superhuman Radio listeners can save 50% off Testo 100 by going to ageforce.com and using the coupon code SHR4. Don't wait. Go to ageforce.com and use code SHR4 and save 50% now.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. I'm talking this hour with Alexis Baden-Mayer from the Organic Consumers Organization, organicconsumers.org. Check it out. We're talking about Monsanto. And, okay, before I ask you this next question, I want to pick up something that we were talking about before the break, and that is GMO. Why is it that we can't label GMO? I mean, I remember they created the UPC coding system for organic, which started with a 9 instead of an 8, and they actually created the UPC a system with a category of numbers for GMO, but they never used it. Why can't we know what is GMO and what is not?
Well, we absolutely can, and Europe does, even China does. It seems like most developed nations in the world have laws that require genetically modified foods to be labeled. The United States doesn't, but it's not because you can't. You see a lot of voluntarily labeled non-GMO products because companies know that this is a selling point, that consumers don't want to eat genetically modified foods, that we know it's dangerous for us. So there's no reason we couldn't have, just like we have allergy warnings, we could have a warning on the label required by the federal government that says, warning, this product may contain genetically modified ingredients. That would be enough. The Monsanto spokespeople have always said putting genetically modified labels on foods is like putting a skull and crossbones on them.
Right.
Nobody wants to eat genetically
modified
foods.
Right, exactly. Do you know that we did a show several months ago where my co-host Elisa Profumo found out that there are Monsanto-owned laboratories where they not only let you know what's GMO and what's not, but they give people the option of whether they want GMO corn or heritage corn. Mm-hmm. These are Monsanto employees. So in other words, it's okay if you're a Monsanto employee to know this, but if you're the average consumer, they don't want you to know it.
Right, yeah. I once found a blog on the Monsanto site that was recommending that people who don't want to eat genetically modified foods eat organic. You can bet that the Monsanto employees, who know much better than we do the effects of genetically modified foods, you can bet they eat organic.
I'm sure. And so I read on your blog recently that at the end of last month, President Obama gave a key agricultural position to a Monsanto, a previous Monsanto employee. Who was that?
Oh, there are actually lots of them. There are direct employees of Monsanto, Michael Taylor, who is now working for Obama as his chief food safety executive.
Oh, my God.
I know. It's just so ironic and horrible. So Michael Taylor was a lawyer for Monsanto, and he worked very hard to get the very first genetically modified organism into our food supply. That was genetically modified bovine growth hormone. It's injected into cows. It makes them overproduce milk.
Right.
And then that milk has higher levels of a natural hormone called IGF-1. But people who have higher levels of IGF-1 are more likely to get all kinds of cancers.
Right.
So it's a very, very dangerous product. It was one of the things that turned people off from genetic engineering in the food supply. It's one of the things that has driven the organic marketplace, because I think when people hear this, they know I'm buying organic milk. There's no way I'm feeding my children cancer-causing milk. And there are lots of things we don't know about this. Is this why we have so many kids who are developing prematurely? They're getting early onset puberty.
Right,
they're developing
right.
breasts when they're in first grade. There are so many things happening that we suspect might be connected to genetic engineering, but the evidence isn't out there to prove it. IGF-1 levels in the milk was something that the FDA discovered through Monsanto's own research. So we've only got the tip of the iceberg. But even that knowledge, the little bit that we have, is more than enough to turn people away from genetic engineering.
In fact, didn't Monsanto spin off that company that made the bovine growth hormone when people started to boycott milk? If it didn't say it was, what is it, BHT, I want to say it was called, or something
it's
like that?
RBST,
yeah,
or
RBST.
RBGH.
And Monsanto thought, oh, well, we've got a dead horse here, and they spun it off and sold it. I say this on the show all the time. Every day, we vote with our dollars. We don't have to wait for 2012. If you boycott a product, you can do it silently. Just don't buy it. The grocery shelves stay packed with it. There's a lot of perishable. They throw it away. They stop ordering it. And the message goes upstream. Hey, we're not selling this stuff anymore. Why? Let's do a focus group. And then they get some people and they go, well, we don't buy that because it's bad for us. And then Monsanto goes, because let's face it, Monsanto is driven by one thing and one thing only. It does not have a social conscience. They're just driven by profits. So the best way to get Monsanto to give us what they want, what we want, is to stop buying the products. And if we can't tell that it's GMO, then I say abandon all corn. I don't eat corn anymore. None. Zero. I don't use any products that have corn syrup in them. None. Zero. You know why? I don't know what's GMO anymore. So Monsanto doesn't get a dollar of my money when it comes to corn-related products. People need to start doing this. We can live without this stuff. In fact, we will live without this stuff.
Live much better.
You know? So so who's running now, this is something interesting. I used to rail against the FDA. I still do. And I used to rail against other government agencies. And then I started to meet people, average people like you and I, who work for these agencies. They go into work, they do their job, they want to retire, it's a job. They're good people. They're not sinister. But yet, they follow an edict set up by people above. So I'm not saying that everybody in Monsanto has been brainwashed into being evil. They're probably good people there. My question is twofold. Who is really running Monsanto today that is making these decisions to put our incomplete population at peril? Who?
Well, the CEO of Monsanto is a man named Hugh Grant, and he's worked for Monsanto since 1981. So it's basically, you know, his first job after he got a postgraduate degree in agriculture and a master's of business administration. And then he went to work for Monsanto, and he's been doing it all of his life. So he may be the mastermind behind all of this. He came on way before they got into genetic engineering. I'm sure when he started, they were starting to research it. But he started in 81, and they put out their first genetically modified products in the 1990s. They became commercialized and got approved. And it's interesting, you know, Monsanto has all sorts of organizations that are organized as nonprofit research institutions. They give a lot of money to universities. They've got trade associations that are masquerading as, you know, beneficial agriculture trade groups, but they're just pesticide promoting companies. And back to what you were saying earlier about how they've managed to infiltrate the government with their very own employees, It probably is part of a large strategy to get influence everywhere. They have the Donald Danforth Plant Science Center. It is masquerading as an objective research institution. It's wholly funded by Monsanto. And this research center, they work with the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to promote genetic engineering as if it's some sort of humanitarian aid.
So in other words, Bill Gates lends his name to this.
Oh, well, yeah, and Bill Gates and his business partner, or his investment advisor and partner, Warren Buffett, the richest man in the world. So two of the richest men in the world are invested in Monsanto directly. They use the profits of their investment to influence world policy, and they do this through the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and the Gates Foundation says, what Africa needs is genetically modified crops. And this is, you know, they're using...
Okay, I gotta say something here. And you're probably going to think, oh, my God, I'm on the air with a lunatic. Should I hang up now? But you know what? I have to say this. I have to. I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I am really not. But I have friends who are staunch conspiracy theorists. And they talk about things like the New World Order and depopulating the planet and all this sort of stuff. And that guys, the richest people in the world, the people at the top of the economic pyramid who are really calling the shots, they really want a depopulation of the planet. We cannot sustain. We can't keep sending grain over there to these people who can't. They've refused to move. They want to live in arid climates where they can't grow anything. So, I mean, is this a far-fetched thing? Is it really that sinister? Is it like, look, we know better for humanity than humanity does. We need to start depopulating the planet. Let's feed those people over there these foods that we know will make them sick, make them kind of just fade away into the sunset so that we can focus on what really needs to be done with this world. Is there any truth to that, or is that really just way out there?
Well, I'm not sure that we even have to speculate on why they do it if we can see what the effects are. And it is very clear that since the mid-1990s, when genetically modified foods were introduced into the American diet, Americans have become fatter and sicker. And there are certain illnesses and disorders that are directly tied to exactly what scientists said would happen if
GERD,
we ate genetically modified food.
GERD, IBS, autoimmune disorders, they're all tied. I mean, I have a friend named Howard Vlieger. We did a show 3 years ago called The Circle of Death. Howard is a pig farmer. And when he was feeding his pigs GMO soy and corn, they developed ulcers, they developed GERD, they developed IBS, their litter rates went down, their litters were fewer and fewer, and as soon as he put them on non-genetic modified feeds, within weeks they got better. And then he said to me, Carl, he goes, these are all the same Nexium, all these diseases that we have out there, it's all from this GMO stuff. And I was like, oh my God, we have to do a show about that. So you're right. A lot of these disorders that we struggle with today are from these foods. So I come back to the politicians. I truly believe that politicians want to be politicians for the right reasons, but then, like rock stars, they get seduced and they become something else once they're up there in Capitol Hill. Are we just at the mercy of these people that they're going to just destroy this country? Or can something be done?
Well, we can all take control of our own lives. And like you said, you can avoid eating processed corn products. It's the corn that's been genetically modified is not the table corn that you eat, corn on the cob. It's field corn. It's the type of corn that's milled.
Right.
So you can avoid eating milled corn. You don't have to eat corn chips. You don't have to drink sodas with high fructose corn syrup. And you can avoid soy. Soy is the other top food that we ingest that's genetically modified. You don't need all the soybean oil that's made into trans fats that's put into crackers and baked goods and fried food. I mean, the best way to avoid genetically engineered foods is to eat a healthy diet of vegetables, fruits, and whole grains. Now, Monsanto would desperately love to genetically modify wheat and rice and probably quinoa and anything else they could get their hands on. But so far, those things are not commercialized yet. They've been experimenting with them. There's been instances of contamination. But still, when you buy rice at the grocery store, that is not genetically modified. So, you know, a healthy diet, eating less animal products, the animals are fed genetically modified.
Well, and that's something you may not be aware of about my show, but I'm a huge proponent of locally sourced, grass-fed, hormone-free beef.
There you go.
The cows that are raised the way nature intended them to be raised. And you're right. If these animals eat those genetically modified feeds, you are getting the negative effects of those vicariously through eating those animals. So my audience exclusively eats grass-fed beef. We eat free-range, true chickens that peck and eat worms and rocks and everything else. I mean, totally opposed to commercial factory farming entirely. So you're right. Avoiding that meat, as opposed to meat in general, avoiding that type of meat, factory farm meats, is essential to overall health and longevity.
Absolutely. Yeah, and it's healthier. You're getting more bang for your buck nutritionally. You know, you think you're getting a great deal when you go to the grocery store and buy a dozen eggs for a couple dollars. And, you know, you go to the farmer's market and you're like, oh my God, a dozen eggs for $5. But think of the nutritional difference. You can, you know, when you crack that egg open and you see how rich and dark orange that yolk is. You can actually see the nutrition with your eyes. You can see the vitamin D and all the other minerals and vitamins that are in that from an animal that was out in sunlight, that was eating leafy greens and insects. That is highly nutritious. It's so worth it. You know, you can buy used clothes, used cars, you know, live in a modest home, but don't skimp on your food. That's the one place. Americans, I don't know why we're like this. Why do we think that cheap food is so important, but we have to have, you know, the latest TV?
Because the message of gluttony has been permeated into the landscape now. We are more about quantity than quality. That's what we have become. We become consumers, a marching parade with our mouths open, looking to the sky, and these organizations and companies are just pouring smut into our, you know what? If they could get us to eat poop, they would. If they could figure out, gee, how can we get people to eat poop? We'll just feed them
that. We are eating it, actually. Well, chickens in factory farms are fed lots of poop, and we eat those chickens. So
as our commercially grown pigs. Absolutely. Yep. You're absolutely right. All right. Look, I want to take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about how you are how you are received when you are out there talking to politicians about these types of issues. We're talking with Alexis Baden-Mayer. Go to organicconsumers.org today and see what you can do to help stop Monsanto in their tracks. I know we can do it. And if we can't do it, let's turn the lights out and leave the country. How about that one? Leave Monsanto here. Let them eat their own food. We'll be right back. Testosterone is the king of anabolic hormones, and Test Charge is unlike any testosterone amplifier you have ever tried, because only Test Charge has taxadrol, a substance that grows in only one place in the world and is only found in Test Charge. Test Charge will jack your testosterone levels like illegal agents, but rest assured, there are no banned substances in Test Charge. Test Charge is the secret weapon used by IFBB legend Flex Wheeler. And now you can join the pro ranks. Go to AAEFX.com to learn more about where you can find Test Charge today. Hey, this is Carl. You know, quite often you're forced to choose between price and quality when it comes to purchasing peptides for research purposes. But you don't have to do that any longer, because now there's opresource.net. At OP Resource, you will find the finest authentic peptides available anywhere at the best prices available anywhere. I only trust my research to opresource.net, and you should too. Check them out today. opresource.net.
I've never felt a pump from taking a supplement. That's until I tried creatine nitrate from APS Nutrition. I expected to feel nothing, just like the NO supplements I had taken before. But this stuff really does work. Even taking below the recommended dose, I could feel the sensation of tighter muscles under the swelling effect of the pump. And the pump lasts for a few hours. It worked for me, and I was a skeptic. Check out creatine nitrate by visiting APSNutrition.com today. Try it, and you'll be a believer too.
Protein is the building block of muscle. Protein-rich diets have been shown to not only be heart healthy, but also burn body fat through the thermogenic effect of protein and the digestive process. But getting enough protein each day isn't easy. That's why I use True Protein from TrueProtein.com. TrueProtein.com has an incredible variety of flavors. My favorite is chocolate coconut. And you can even create your own custom blend. Mix whey, casein, and egg, or throw in a little beef isolate. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Visit TrueProtein.com today and let them know Carl sent.
That's the sound of 37 dumbbells. That's a lot of weight and a lot of wasted space when you can get the same thing done with just one set of power blocks. The new, quieter Urethane Series power blocks with FlexPin technology are the heaviest and easiest to use quick change dumbbells on the market. Starting at just $149 a pair, power blocks can grow as your strength grows, all the way up to 130 pounds per dumbbell. Imagine a whole rack of dumbbells in the space of just one pair with power blocks. Go to powerblock.com today or call 800-651-1937. Power Block, the world's best dumbbell.
All of your favorite supplements are waiting for you at the best prices and fastest customer service at OrbitNutrition.com. Even some of the more popular supplements advertised right here on Superhuman Radio. They carry All-American EFX, LG Sciences, and Primordial Performance products at the best prices on the net. Visit OrbitNutrition.com today and check out their complete line. Give them a chance to fill your order. You won't be disappointed. OrbitNutrition.com. The best supplements in the universe are at OrbitNutrition.com.
get stronger, feel younger. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Alexis, you know what I just did during the commercial break?
What's that?
I signed the Truth in Labeling petition on your website.
Oh, thanks so much.
That's how fast it can be done, folks. You have to go to organicconsumers.org and look for the Millions Against Monsanto area. Sign the petition. Get involved. Find out what you can do in your area. You know, it'll be very empowering to derail Monsanto. Very empowering. And it can be done. There is power in the base of the pyramid. The people make up the base of this pyramid. Don't let the politicians or these organizations fool you. We do have the power to make these changes. Alexis, what happens when you walk into... tell me a politician that you recently visited.
You know, I've been doing mostly grassroots organizing.
Okay.
But I do work with an organization called the Truth in Labeling Coalition.
Okay.
And I lobby with a former congressman, Congressman Jim Bates.
Okay.
And we can go all over the Capitol together. You know, as a former congressman, you get lots of access. And he recognizes and knows everybody. And there basically isn't anyone we can meet who defies the logic of our argument that consumers deserve the right to know. And that we're being deprived of this right if genetically modified foods aren't labeled.
Right.
90% of the public agrees with this idea. And you don't have to be left-wing or right-wing. You don't have to believe that genetically modified foods are dangerous or not. All you have to do is have that basic instinct to want to know. It's a new, untested technology. The human beings who came onto this planet and started being fed genetically modified foods from birth, these folks are only young teenagers right now.
Right.
They have not quite reached reproductive age. In 15 more years, most of them will have tried to have babies. And at that point, we probably will see whether what happens to animals with miscarriages and deformities and infertility. This happens to animals within three generations.
We are seeing it. We are starting to see it in some of the oldest of those who were introduced to GMO early on. Infertility is a raging problem in this country. You know, you said something earlier in the show. You know, we love to think that the United States of America is just everything, all that. We're so much better than... Name a country. I don't care. Pick one. Anybody in the European Union, Germany, blah, blah, blah. We think we're just better. We have better science, better technology, the people better. But the truth of the matter is, in a lot of European countries, they don't want GMO. They won't even let this stuff in. And we have politicians now who are fighting. They're rallying, trying to get these other countries to accept GMO on behalf of Monsanto. And these countries are going, we don't want it. So... Why can't we figure, if companies like China and other countries in Europe are already on top of this and they know, like, we don't want it, we don't know what it's going to do, we're going to sit and wait, you can be experimental with your people, we're not going to be that way. How can these politicians sit back and be so cavalier about this and go, oh my God, you know, look at the legacy that I'm about to enter into. This is going to be me. I'm going to be one of those politicians that destroyed this country. Why don't they see that?
I don't know. I guess they are influenced by Monsanto's money. Monsanto is an American company, pays for the campaigns in this country. But I think it'll be really interesting to see when there's a shift. Because right now, it's the United States with U.S. companies that are exporting this technology to the rest of the world. And the rest of the world is looking at it skeptically and saying, oh, it looks like there are health effects associated with this. So the European Union, Russia, China, they're all giving us a good hard look and using precaution and evaluating these technologies as we try to force them upon these countries. And, you know, even the poorest countries, Haiti, after the earthquake, didn't accept Monsanto's genetically modified
food. I love it. We're talking about a country in peril. They would probably have eaten anything at that moment, and they said, no, we don't want any GMO.
Yeah, they knew what a trouble it would be for their local agriculture. And the farmers, the government ended up accepting Monsanto seed that wasn't genetically modified but did have fungicide attached to it. And the farmers said, we don't want your hybrid fungicide seeds. We're burning these seeds. So even the poorest farmers in the poorest countries know that genetic engineering is a death knell for local agriculture. You know, once you are buying seed from a chemical company, that means that your local seed is either wiped out,
right,
outcompeted in the marketplace, especially when the U.S. government wants to so-called donate it to you, because then it's going to be in the seed stores at a lower price than what you can distribute your locally grown seed for. So they know how it impacts them economically, how it endangers their lives because it's connected to all these chemicals, and how they can't really afford the system where you buy seed from a company rather than saving it. Then you pay for chemicals that go with the seed. The farmers in India are the most desperate example. Tens of thousands of farmers in India found themselves so deeply in debt that they could not afford to grow these crops in future years. And once they got involved in a debt cycle where they were indebted to the seed company, indebted to the chemical company, they started committing suicide.
Oh, my God.
Because they knew that they wouldn't be able to feed their family and they would have no livelihood once they were in debt to companies like Monsanto. Tens of thousands of farmers in India. So, you know, if you grow your own food, you know how Monsanto will impact your livelihood, impact your health. You know, the farmers in India, they see the same things. Their livestock grazes on Monsanto's BT cotton, and then the whole herd drops dead within days.
Oh, my God, really?
They go out into the field, and the human beings touch this cotton. They touch it with their hands. They pick it. And the cotton is genetically engineered to produce a pesticide. The pesticide gets all over their skin, all of their bodies, just from touching this crop. And they get massive allergic reactions. Itchy, horrible.
And when they make that into clothing, I wonder if you can ever get that out of the fibers.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean,
yeah.
People probably have allergic reactions to clothes that they don't even understand. This is enlightening,
right?
What you're saying right now.
Yeah, yeah, it explains a lot, doesn't it? It's really frightening.
I want to give people some hope here because this is really it. Really is sad. It really is. I mean, you know, I'm getting ready to do a show next month on lost civilizations because I feel like we can learn something from lost civilizations. A lot of people think when they talk about lost civilizations, like the Aztecs or the Egyptians or the Roman Empire, they think that these people just disappeared. They didn't. Usually what happens in lost civilizations is the civil structure, the sociological structure of this, let's for lack of better terms, metropolitan area became so anti-civilian, so difficult for people to exist, that they left, they migrated away, they left buildings, they left infrastructure, they left everything behind just to get away from the insidious nature of this particular area. And they went on and took up lives elsewhere. This is happening in the United States. We have an exodus of people who can afford to leave this country because for the first time, it's not so pretty here. When you look on all the different fronts, economic, social, you look at this issue here with food. I mean, just getting basic healthy food is becoming more and more difficult. Being bombarded with pharmaceutical drugs that destroy our bodies. Doctors, I mean, when you look at it on all fronts, the people who can afford to, they're going, you know what? I think I'm going to go live abroad for a while. They're doing it. So we are actually in the midst right now of the breakdown of this civilization that maybe generations from now they're going to put the U.S. civilization right there with the Roman Empire and all these other empires that have just dissipated because people don't want to live like this anymore. So what is your organization doing? What successes have you had and what can my listeners do to help?
Well, I think the best chance we have of defeating Monsanto is getting the organic industry that has the most to lose from contamination of their crops with Monsanto's malformed DNA. And building the resources that it would take to do a ballot initiative in a state like California. Now, this would take a couple million dollars, and Monsanto would still outspend us. But we have majority support, super majority support. It, across all ages and political spectrums, people agree that if genetically modified organisms are in our food, we deserve the right to know. So, you know, in a pay-to-play system like we've got, we either have to form political action committees and buy congressmen the way Monsanto does, but I think it would be better just to take the issue to the voters in a ballot initiative in a powerful state. And once California requires labels on genetically modified
food, so goes the country.
Yeah, there's no other place. You know, it's not going to make economic sense to...
And you know what? This sort of stuff goes right over in California because people in California are very conscious about their health, the foods they eat. Everything starts in California and then migrates across the country. I like that idea. We have to take our last commercial break. When we come back, I want to talk about World Food Day, October 16, 2011, and also the goals, the very lofty goals about of millions against Monsanto. We're talking this hour with Alexis Baden-Mayer. She's with the Organic Consumers Association. Go to organicconsumers.org and get involved now. Doesn't take any time at all. I already signed the Truth in Labeling petition during the commercial break. You should too. We'll be right back. If you want to be superhuman, you can't eat junk. Finally, there's a protein bar that isn't just candy in disguise. Quest protein bars have 20 grams of protein, 4 to 5 grams of non-fiber carbs, and the only bars on the market with no sugar or sugar alcohols. I've never promoted a protein bar before, but these are delicious and unlike any other protein bars you've ever tried before. They're so good that Quest Nutrition is giving away 2 free bars to all my listeners, even free shipping. Go to superhumanradio.com right now and click the Quest Protein Bar banner ad to try them today. Finally, a Bulbine supplement right from the source used in the original study. Phytoserms 347 is here. Bulbine natalensis has been shown to dramatically increase testosterone levels in clinical research, but sourcing the real ingredient has proven near impossible. Now, Ruthless Supplements has done the impossible. Each capsule of Phytoserms 347 has the exact amount of pure Prolensis TM Bulbine natalensis required to produce a dramatic increase in total and free testosterone. You can't get this anywhere else but at Ruthless Supplements. Visit rlssupplements.com today.
Muscle building magic happens when you put the right stack together. Iron Mag Labs takes the guesswork out of stacking with Methadrol Extreme. Methadrol Extreme combines 3 of the most powerful legal anabolics in the world: dimethazine, superdrol, and decadrol. The combination of these 3 agents will ratchet up strength while packing on slabs of muscle and dissolving fat. Don't wait too long because Methadrol Extreme will only be available for a limited time and is sure to disappear quickly. Go to ironmaglabs.com today and get your bottle of Methadrol Extreme.
Never before has an anti-estrogen been so powerful. The Triazole formula is built on a potent all-natural aromatase inhibitor called Pizole, which has been shown in clinical trial to be as effective as a leading prescription aromatase inhibitor. Pizole works in concert with the rest of the Triazole formula to control estrogen while simultaneously boosting testosterone significantly. In fact, one of Triazole's testers had a 120% increase in total testosterone and a 257% increase in free testosterone. Triazole is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet.com, or where finest supplements are sold. For more information, check out GetDS.com.
Branched-chain amino acids have been shown to be as powerful as weak anabolic steroids in building muscle and burning fat. BCAAs will increase mitochondria biogenesis and size. The 3 amino acids in BCAAs pass right from the lining of the stomach directly into the bloodstream and begin flipping the switches for muscle growth immediately. The best BCAAs are at TrueProtein.com. Unlike others, they mix instantly in water. And you can save 5% off the already low price when you use the coupon code SHRADIO. Go to TrueProtein.com and get your BCAAs.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Build muscle, burn fat. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. You know, the FDA wants to block access to supplements. They want to block our ability to buy vitamins and supplements. They always cite, oh, these things are dangerous. But yet the FDA condones what Monsanto is doing. The United States is basically a laboratory test. And you are no different than some Wistar rat stuck in a cage being fed something that ultimately will destroy it and kill it, just so that we can find out if that's what happens. The average person walking around in this country is exactly that test subject. And Monsanto is the one doing the tests. So I don't buy a government who says they're trying to protect me from supplements when they're letting a company like Monsanto do what they're doing to people. I'm sorry, I have to refrain. It's baloney. Okay, the goal of Millions Against Monsanto is to have 435 chapters. I guess that's one in each congressional district, right?
Mm-hmm.
Times 2,300 supporters in each chapter, which will equal 1 million people against Monsanto. Where are you now in the race to get a million people against Monsanto?
We are at about 500,000. We have about 300,000 on our email list and about 200,000 in two pages on Facebook.
Okay.
And we just
What happens when you hit a million people? Will that gravity of a million people really make a difference?
I really think that they're going to stand up and notice. You know, Monsanto has the lock on politics. But there are more of us. They have the lock on politics the way it's played. You know, contributions to politicians, that sort of thing. The revolving door between companies and the administration. But still, there are more of us than there are of them. We're the voters, and our votes still matter. And if we are able to organize 2,300 people in every single congressional district across the country, and there are many congressional districts where we have, you know, more than 3,000 supporters already, and there are, of course, congressional districts where we're weaker, only have a couple hundred. But if we are able to organize that sort of broad base on an issue where there's 90% support among voters, we can win, because that means we can elect right-wing politicians, you know, Tea Party people. We can elect fundamentalist Christians who agree that genetically modified food should be labeled. We can elect liberals who, you know, are for the social safety net and for union rights and, you know, want to see the United States be well respected in the world. We can get those types of politicians, because they also can support labels for genetically modified foods. It doesn't matter what end of the spectrum you're on.
Do you have a chapter in Kentucky, in Louisville, Kentucky?
We have one for every single congressional district. And if you go to our website,
join your local chapter.
Yep, you just go to your state page, and they're listed by congressional district on the state page.
I'm doing that now also.
And we've created Facebook causes for each one, so you can join the cause on Facebook. And we're also going to create email lists and other ways for people who aren't on Facebook to plug in. And it's going really well. We have over 50,000 people who have already joined the chapters nationwide through Facebook causes. And so these chapters are having rallies for the right to know. They're having GMO food dumps. They're getting together for GMO-free potlucks and movie showings. They're watching movies like The World According to Monsanto together, and they're educating themselves. They're going out to grocery stores with the petition and talking to their neighbors. They're getting people involved. They're talking to folks at the schools about what their kids eat. It's such an easy issue to talk to folks about. You know,
where can I get a copy of World Against Monsanto?
World According to Monsanto.
According to Monsanto.
It's called The World According to Monsanto. The movie has its own webpage, but you can also watch it for free online. So just Google The World According to Monsanto. It's available on YouTube and other free video sites.
Are you seeing more support in the farm belt than in the cities and suburbs?
Well, I think that there's support everywhere. I think that it's you know, our membership has grown over the years mostly around the issue of strong organic standards. And so we've mostly been connected to people who actually have, you know, a local natural food store where they can buy organic produce. Unfortunately, there are so many areas in the country that don't have access to organic produce. There are farm areas that don't have farmers markets, that don't have organic food. There are food deserts. You know, there are places where there's not even a grocery store that sells fresh produce at all, let alone organic. So our members are certainly concentrated in areas where people have had access to organic food, yeah, where the Organic Consumers Association. But I think on this issue of getting Monsanto out of our food supply by labeling their products so people can avoid them, you know, this is an issue for Walmart shoppers the same way it is for Whole Foods shoppers.
Right. Which, by the way, Whole Foods signed some sort of pact with the devil deal with Monsanto not too long ago, saying that they were going to coexist with Monsanto, which is a farce, because the truth is that Whole Foods sells more conventional and non-organic food than they do organic food.
Yep. Yep, that's where they make their money. You know, you can
Enough, do you know that that Whole Foods uses the approach of using organophosphates to wipe produce down, even though it's marked as organic produce? Organophosphates, we don't want that on our food. They use that regularly in a percentage of water and organophosphates to wipe down the vegetables that were shipped in, quote-unquote, organic.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, you know, it's, and this is why I say patronize the small family farm. Find a small family farm in your area where you can actually go see the cows that they're milking. You can see the fields that they're growing things in. People need to take more of an intimate interest in what they put in their mouth. The days of just trusting companies that they're going to do the right things is over. You know what? We wouldn't have a healthcare problem.
That's right.
If people weren't being poisoned by their food today. And you know what? The government stands around pontificating about how to deal with this healthcare problem. In 20 years, it could all go away completely. But let's face it. The pharmaceutical agenda, the AMA, and the companies that are making us sick, Bayer, Syngenta, Monsanto, these companies, they're in a pact together to make people sick and then keep them alive on these drugs and so on, because this is a way to turn people into slaves again. Every dollar you make, you end up spending just to stay alive. It's a grand scheme here. There's no doubt in my mind that the people will continue to ignore the signs in place of profits. We have to wake up. We have to make the changes. We have to do the. I have to ask you one last question before I let you go. Have you ever been threatened or anything like that because of your work?
Well, I got arrested at a protest at Whole Foods in Chicago last week.
Like, when you say arrested, were you the only one arrested?
I was certainly targeted, yes. I was targeted along with our local organizer.
And the two of us
were arrested out of a couple dozen people.
And so when you were arrested, they booked you. What did they book you for?
Disorderly conduct. They claimed that we were blocking the sidewalk.
Were you blocking the sidewalk?
No, that was not our intent. Our intent was simply to hold a banner outside of the Whole Foods, but we got pushed off of Whole Foods property by the store employees, and apparently they had called the police because there were police there before we even opened our banners or got to the site. So it's pretty clear that Whole Foods is not interested in allowing activists free speech on this issue.
I don't shop at Whole Foods anymore, by the way. In fact, we entertained the other day, Elisa and I, and we realized while we were sitting there, the only thing I went to a quote-unquote grocery store for was some cleaning supplies. Everything else that we cooked and ate came from either our local farmer or the farmer's market.
Marvelous.
That's a wonderful feeling. It's a wonderful feeling not to be giving money to these organizations and companies that would have us poison ourselves.
Yeah.
So, okay, listen. I want to give you an open invitation to come back on anytime you want to promote any functions that are coming up. If you want to rally the troops, you've got something going on in a particular city. Anytime you want to come back on, you simply need to just email me a few days ahead of time and I will work you in and get you on the air.
I am definitely going to take you up on that offer, and
okay,
we will be putting this broadcast into our newsletter that goes to 300,000 people.
Very, very cool. And we have to do something now. If we don't do something now, we're going to regret it someday. It's going to be too late to turn back the clock. Once you develop disease, once your child comes to you crying because she cannot have a baby. She cannot get pregnant. Once your son comes to you in his 20s and 30s with IBS, a destroyed lining in his stomach, and God knows what other issues, you're going to wish you did something about this. Listen, Alexis, thanks for being on the show today.
Oh, thank you so much.
Okay, and I also want to thank Dr. Andro and Sean Casey for discussing how to interpret and make sense of research. We'll see you tomorrow with Casual Friday. My co-host, Elisa Profumo, has put together a great show for you tomorrow. You're not going to want to miss that. See you then. Hey, who wants to live longer? Go to superhumanradio.com today and listen to Superhuman Radio live at 1 p.m. Pacific weekdays.